Good morning. Welcome to anyone who's visiting with us today. Please join us, if you can, for tea and coffee and a light lunch in the hall after the service. We meet this week for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday at 9:15, during the month of June only, and then no meetings during July. This week we'll pray for the residents of Cotts Castle Grove. Please join us if you can. The Paterson Church coffee morning this Tuesday, 10 a.m. till 11:30. And the next Guildcraft night will be on Monday, 10th June at 7:30 p.m. Stonehouse Primary Senior Choir presents The Last Monster in Scotland. Sounds interesting. On Tuesday the 11th of June at 1:30 p.m. in the school hall, and all are welcome to go along. The Hope Cafe meets this week on Thursday 13th June, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and again all are welcome to come along. There'll be a board and session meeting Thursday 13th of June again at 7 p.m. The book group meet on Sunday the 16th of June, and the book is Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck. Invitations have been given out to the Guild afternoon tea on Monday the 17th June at 2 p.m. If you're over 60 and don't receive an invitation but would like to join us, please talk to one of the Guild members. It's difficult to identify everyone, so please, we don't want to offend. Make yourself known. The quiz, thanks to all who participated in the quiz. The winner, picked at random from the all correct entries, was Margaret McInnes. The answers, for those of you who did the quiz, are displayed on the church notice boards in front of the church and in the hall, so you can check where you went wrong. There'll be a fundraising meeting next Sunday after the service in the transept of the church. We're looking for people who can help out with fundraising. You don't need to be a committee member, an elder, a board member. If you can help out with some fundraising, please come along after the service next Sunday morning and make yourself known. And lastly, if you know of anyone who is ill or in hospital, please let Anne Anderson know and we'll send flowers or we'll visit. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. We're quiet again. Today is Pentecost. It's there'll be a quiz later on about what that means. It's Pentecost. That's why we've got the red covers on. Red's the colour of Pentecost. Why? Flames. Flames. Fire. Fire and wind. Pentecost is a nice gentle time where the disciples are in a room and fire and flames like a hurricane, wind like a hurricane and flames come down, because that's dead normal, isn't it? So that'll happen during the service, just so that you're aware. And when it does happen, somebody will put on a high-vis vest and blow a whistle and you'll all have to run outside. Moving like the wind, the energy of God which changes us, the imagination which creates our ideas and unfolds our visions. This is the Spirit, and she calls us here today. Disturbing us and confronting us, shaping us into all that we can be, uniting us together in a community of love. This is the Spirit, and she calls to us today. A deluge of colour, a rainbow where everyone belongs. This is the Spirit. And she calls us here today. Let's take a moment to light our candle to remind us of the fire that burns within us all, the Spirit of God. Let's join us singing our first hymn, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind. join together in prayer. Creator God, whose spirit brooded over the dark waters of chaos and hatched the universe. Incarnate God, whose spirit flickers in all of us and shone with dazzling brightness in a man called Jesus. Spirit of life, whose energy permeates every particle of creation and who alone can bring us fully alive, we come to you with mixed feelings on this day of celebration. When the church remembers how it all began and the amazing things that happened long, long ago, we're excited and intrigued to hear these stories of mighty tongues of fire and rushing wind. And there's a tiny glimmer of hope that all may not be lost for us. You stepped in then to bring the church to life. Might you do the same when it feels as though our life is silently ebbing away? Then comes fear. Do we want our quiet lives to be disrupted? And gratefully, having sung the hymns and prayed the prayers, we close the book until next year. And everything goes back to normal. Living God, we need your spirit desperately. If your aged church is to survive or to die well. They spoke in many languages and understood each other. We sometimes speak the same language but still fail to communicate. They waited until the time was right and the Spirit came upon them. We rush about making plans and strategies and wonder why they fail. God, give us patience in our waiting, attentiveness in our living, imagination in our work, to do strange and wonderful things among your people. And give us courage that when the time is right and the Spirit is ready, that we might follow wherever she may lead. Lord, hear us as we join together in one voice saying the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our reading today comes from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because they heard each of them speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these Galileans who are speaking? How is it that each of us hears our native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and Gentile, Cretans and Arabs, all of them hearing in our own language words about God's deeds of power." Amen. Today is not just our service of worship, it's also our stated annual meeting. It's the time of year when we present the accounts, because we have to, by law, and we think a little bit about what we've been doing over the past year and what we might do in the future. So I'm going to ask Bill, our treasurer, to come and tell us a bit about the numbers.
What we've done is copies of the full accounts are at the front door if anyone wants a copy to have a look at. What we've done here is we've done a shortened version, which should come up on the screens. And what I've tried to do is basically pick out highlights off the accounts as they stand 2018 against 2017. And what we can see, what I've done initially is we've got the receipts and the expenditure in their entirety there over the 2 years. And what you can see is that over 2 years, we've ran at a deficit of virtually 21,000. Right. Now, it doesn't take a genius to work out that we certainly can't maintain running at that sort of deficit. And what I've done below that is then listed out just simply from the donation side of things. And the reason I've broken it down like this is effectively our week-to-week working cash, for want of a better phrase. The money that comes in the door, whatever way it is, whether it's free will offerings, gifted donations, open plate, these are the figures that relate to the funds that come in on a week-to-week basis. And I know people will be tired of me either writing or saying the thing about direct debit giving or standing order giving. It does make a difference to the cash flow in terms of regularity. So I'm going to beat that drum again and just ask everybody, if it's something that you do at the moment, great. We love you doing that. Keep it going. If you don't, seriously think about it as an alternative way of giving, because it just makes life a little bit easier, as I say, in terms of working out things on a regular basis. But again, the other thing to emphasise there is you'll not see a great deal of difference between 2017 and 2018. And there's nothing this year that suggests that that's going to change in any huge shape or form. Just moving on, when we take those figures and average it out, what we then see is the weekly average of those donations and givings works out at just over £1,300, whereas our weekly expenditure is working out at just over £2,600. So again, a marked difference between the two sets of figures, and something that obviously is concerning. The next part is really a feather in everybody's cap, because what I don't want to do is stand here as a doom and gloom merchant. If it wasn't for these figures and other routes of the church raising money, then we would be in a sorry place. But thankfully, because we've got this type of support and commitment from people in terms of other means of giving, then that boosts the giving side up to the 120,000 mark. Without that, we'd be sitting at, as the figures showed earlier, around about the 69,000 mark. And again, what we can see from either, whether it be activities for generating funds or anything else, whether it's Link Magazine, it tends to be the same people that are here on a regular basis. And what I don't want to do is make criticism, but what I'd love to do is see some new faces coming along to help us when we're doing things like fund generation and the fundraising, exactly what Dixon was alluding to earlier. It would be great to see some new people coming along. It makes such a difference. So the next part is dead easy. Does anybody have any questions with regards to the figures? Nope. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. As I said, this is a kind of odd meeting. It used to be that we had to have an AGM and to present and scrutinise the accounts. That doesn't happen anymore. The board and Kirk Session do that now, because they're the trustees. So charity law has changed slightly. So all we do is present the accounts for your information. And as Bill said, there's copies at the back. If you want them, there's also a copy on the OSCAR website of the accounts. So they've all been submitted. Let's join and sing again. We'll sing here in this place. Thank you. So one of the things that I do on a regular basis is go for supervision, which is an interesting thing because not many ministers do. I don't understand why it's not compulsory. And this kind of job, the kind of things that you do on a day-to-day basis, I think it helps to have somebody to talk about that, somebody who's a bit removed from that whole process and who can give you a bit of insight. So I was at supervision the other day, and the person that supervises me said, "Well, what do you like about your job?" And I was like, "Well, pretty much all of it, actually." And she says, "No, but what do you really like about it?" And I was talking about this bit, the preaching bit, and it's a task that I enjoy for lots of reasons. I like the preparation. I like taking the text at the start of the week and just letting it sit for a while so that it can bump up against all the other things that happen in that week and all the other things that have happened in the whole of my life. It's funny how the text sometimes stirs up things that you thought you'd forgotten about, or memories from a long time ago, or words from a song, or a film, or a television, or a conversation that you've had. It's amazing how things start to unfold across the week. And the next bit is the bit that fascinates me: turning those thoughts and wonderings into a sermon. And sometimes that's really hard work. Sometimes it's a slog, it's a chore. You sit there and nothing happens. You just stare at a blank screen for ages and you wonder, it's Saturday night, I need to say something. And sometimes the panic helps and sometimes it really doesn't. And then there's this bit, the saying it out loud bit. And this is the bit that surprises me more than all the other bits put together. I hate reading aloud. I used to hide in English when the books were being given out and folk were, "Oh, you can read a part and you can read a thing," and reading poems or whatever it was. I hate that. And I still hate it. At morning prayers, we go round the circle and we all read a bit, and I dread my turn. I sit and follow it down with my finger so that I get the right bit, and I'm always terrified that I get it wrong. And yet here I am, reading aloud to you. And in some set, I don't know why, but it's different. It's not the same. And then the words come out. They come off the page and they're said aloud and they're somehow set free, brought to life. And they go off and you hear them. And somewhere in the meeting of all that inspiration that's happened during the week and my speaking and the inspiration of you hearing, something amazing happens. Somehow we all find meaning in those words. And that happens because the Holy Spirit shows up. Or more correctly, I think, because we recognize that the Holy Spirit is here. Because she always is. We just don't always see. It's Pentecost today. We read that strange reading about tongues of fire and wind like an earthquake, and it's really impressive. Actually, it's really terrifying and confusing and really, really strange. But it's still impressive, isn't it? The story of the disciples receiving this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is only impressive because of what happens next. This would have been like the world's worst story if, after all of that stuff, all the tongues of fire and the wind like an earthquake, the disciples had went, "Well, that was weird," and then put on a box set on Netflix or something. Or any of the thousand other things that they could have done that day. But they didn't. They went outside. They were so filled with God, so filled that it was spilling out of them, that they went outside and they began to talk. These uneducated young men from the back end of nowhere started to speak in a way that enabled people to understand them. People from all kinds of places. And the people gathered said, "In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." Today's the annual stated meeting. Bill's just told us we've got no money. God's deeds of power. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? There always is. There always is. We said it before, we could all pay twice as much, or we could have twice as many people. But mission's not about the money. We're not funding a club, we're not funding a museum to keep our faith in. The money just enables us to go and do other things. And if it's all about keeping the show on the road, then we might as well just pack up and go home. And if our efforts to raise funds don't also build up our community, as well as our bank balance, then we're wasting our time. Like everything else, I wonder sometimes if our funds are a reflection of our priorities. I wonder how much thought we give to our offering. I wonder if we give out of what we've got left, or we give first and then spend what's left. We stand at the offering, something that you didn't used to do, and we stand because the offering's much more than giving our money. It's about giving ourselves. And so we stand to signify that. That's why we do it. It's about offering ourselves. God, take me. All that I've got, including my money, but all of me. All the stuff that I have to offer, all the stuff that I don't think is good enough, all the stuff that I think I'm good at, take it all and put it to good use. I'm not about to lecture you. That conversation's for you, and it's for you alone. But my prayer is that we will always find things of real value here. A sense of God's love for us. A sense of belonging and purpose and joy. This is the Sunday closest to the anniversary of my ordination. Happy birthday to me. 2 years ago, I stood there and spoke about my sense of call. And in the middle of all of that, we made some promises, serious promises, promises to work together, promises to try and work out how to be God's people in this place, promises to be the Church of Jesus Christ. And in the last 2 years, we've tried to do that in lots of different ways, and some of them have been great, and some of them haven't worked so well. And some of them you won't even know about. But it seems that food is a big part of what we do here. And the month that the coffee morning wasn't on, I lost half a stone. Whether it's 100 ladies gathering for worship and afternoon tea, 60 people coming for 11s on the World Day of Prayer, or the hundreds of cups of tea and cakes that are served on a Tuesday, whether it's the Valentine's coffee morning, food at the craft fair, the Christmas fair, milk and cookies after story time with Santa, 100 people at the Burns Supper. It seems that food is important. On Thursday, the Hope Cafe's on. Food, more food that feeds us and it feeds our souls somehow, because community happens around food, doesn't it? So to all of the people who cook, serve and wash dishes and bake and make cups of tea and sit around a table and share community with one another, thank you. Thank you. What you do in that is incredibly important. And I know that sometimes it's a chore and sometimes it's a faff and sometimes you've got a million other things that you would rather be doing, but it's important. The gift that you give to other people to allow them to sit round the table together and to share their stories is important. There's something of the kingdom in that. Work with children and young people is often a measure of the health of a church. But it's often a part that goes unseen. Our children and young people aren't in this morning. They're off playing with Lego. And if that doesn't make you want to volunteer for the Sunday school, then nothing will. But our boys' brigade, our girls' brigade are healthy. They're doing well. But they happen at times of the week when most of us aren't here. They're doing well in no small part because of the dedication of their officers and leaders who give up their time to do brilliant work. Or our Sunday school, or our holiday club, where we're able to share the story of Jesus again and again and again with kids who turn up all the time. When they've got a million other things they could be doing, they turn up. Some of them come without their parents because they want to come to church. And we look forward to that holiday club again in the first week of August. I'm the chaplain at both primary schools. It's been my privilege to welcome all of the pupils of Stonehouse Primary to the church three times this year. They all come. They just walk across the road and everybody comes. It's brilliant. I've taken part in their Scots evening, where I had to read some of the Gruffalo in Scots. I've attended their Burn Supper. I've went to the nursery at Stonehouse Primary and read them Bible stories and played with the kids, and it was brilliant. I spent two whole weeks at Newfield visiting every class and helping them with their lessons in Christian faith, telling them a bit about the church, a lot about God, and something of what this congregation is all about, as well as being involved in their services at Easter and Christmas and at the end of term. But there's one thing I want to highlight in particular, because I think it gives us a sense of how we can serve our community while still being the church. Remembrance Weekend. Remembrance Weekend last year was something really quite special. Over 1,000 people, I'll say that again, over 1,000 people came through this building over that weekend. Some of them to our services, some to the Heritage Group's exhibition, some who just sat in the pews with the silhouettes while Quentin played his cello and looked at the poppies that were made by people in the church and the community. And the story of how that all came to happen is, I believe, one of those moments that would have been easy to miss. It could have been an opportunity that just passed us by. I first saw the advert for the silhouettes on Facebook in March last year. The Armed Forces Covenant was giving them away, but there was a set of criteria that you had to meet to get them. And we didn't meet any of those criteria at that point. By September, we met them all. And at no point did I set out to meet any of them. All I did was say yes. The first thing that happened, though, was that we took three pews out. It created an empty space, a possibility. If the pews had still been there, all they could be used for is sitting in straight lines. It's all you can do, isn't it? Now that space can be used for lots of things, like prayers and meetings and exhibitions. So when the Heritage Group started to talk about an exhibition about the people of Stonehouse who had been involved in the First World War, I suggested to them that they might want to use this new space as well as the small hall. And they could show video on the screens. And they said yes. And then came the email suggesting that in the morning we might want to get a piper to play Battle's Oar at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And then at night to ring the bells to celebrate the end of the war. And we asked some people, and guess what they said? Yes. Our piper said, absolutely. But rather than just have me standing outside the front of the church, why don't we have a service? And so we did. And 40 people turned up in the middle of the night to honour pipers who had died during the First and Second World Wars. And that was the beginning of an incredibly moving and inspiring day. A full church, at 10:45 with the Cubs and the Scouts and the Guides and the Girls Brigade and the Boys Brigade. Members and representatives of our armed forces and veterans stood in silence to mark the 100th anniversary of the end of the war. With photographs taken by Douglas Thompson and words and songs from young and old. We laid wreaths at the War Memorial with representatives of the Community Council, our elected officials from the Council, the Scottish Parliament and Westminster. And at the evening, at the going down of the sun, we remembered them. Their sacrifice was honoured and celebrated by children and by old men. Stonehouse Primary Choir, Stonehouse Male Voice Choir, our own church choir, Quentin again playing his cello, and at 6:55 the last post was sounded, and at 7:05 the bells rang out. All of which happened as we sat side by side with these silhouettes, reminders of people in our community who had paid the highest price, and all because we had gone from planning our normal remembrance service, as good and significant as that is, to something much, much more. And how did it happen? We said yes. That's all. We invited people into a space that we had created to bring their contribution, and people said yes. Yes, of course, we'd be delighted to join in that. We created a space that other people could fill, a space that allowed the community to mark a moment, a very special event. Not by telling them what they should do, but by valuing what they can do, that we could do together, that we could all join together and honour God in. And to honour each other. And in the middle of each of those moments, I got to do this. I got to stand up and speak about God. But I don't think that's the only time that happened over the weekend. Often the most powerful way that we proclaim our faith is in what we do. How we are. How we react to people and to things. St. Francis said, proclaim the gospel and use words if necessary. I wonder, as we comfort the bereaved and celebrate with the joyful and stand alongside the marginalised, how we might be able to speak in a language that they understand. How they will hear us speaking about God's deeds of power. I wonder, as we look back and give thanks for all that's been this year, all the incredible things that have happened, if we recognise that they happened because we took a risk, that sometimes we took a step outside what's always been, we followed that inspiration of the Holy Spirit to follow a new path, to try a new thing, to be a new people in a new way in this ancient place. And I wonder what the Holy Spirit's calling us to next. What space we might open up, where that prompting might lead us, what adventure is next for us. Just after the passage that I read, Peter quotes Joel, the Old Testament prophet. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days. That spirit's for all of us. For each and every one of us. It fills us and inspires us and prompts us, and mostly we ignore it. Because frankly, it's terrifying. Stepping out beyond what we know is always a scary thing. But we know that God will always be with us. and there will probably be cake. Amen. Let's sing again. We have a gospel to proclaim. So we bring our offering to our God.
Thank you.
God, who took a tired and lonely and dispirited bunch of people and filled them with enough energy to light up the whole world, we offer you our tiredness, our sense of isolation, our confusion about the way ahead, and ask you to transform them in us. And when the time is right, to transform us into a church worthy of the name of Jesus. And to help us not to panic too much when our prayers are answered. Amen. We join again to sing Holy Spirit, Gift and Bestower.
Our prayers for others and ourselves. Let us pray. God of our awakenings, we give thanks for our own journey of faith, for the people who brought the Bible stories alive for us and made faith a winsome thing. We give thanks for Ninian and Columba and Margaret, for Mungo and his saintly mother, who established the church in this place. May we use wisely the legacy they have passed on to us. May we be as imaginative in our generation as they were in theirs. God of the continuing adventure, we give thanks for the unique opportunities and advantages there are of being called to the church at this time, and not some other. Untrammeled by respectability and social status, we go back to living among the poor and the marginalised, as Jesus did. No longer the only faith system on offer, no longer sole arbiter of moral standards, we can learn from those around us. Unable to cope on our own, we can choose to rely on your strength and find that it will not fail. God of our endings, we give thanks that all created things will one day come to an end. Nothing lasts forever, and that enables us to treasure what is good and endure what would otherwise be unendurable. Help us to embrace Sister Death when she comes for us, and for our cherished traditions and institutions. Help us to let go of what is the past, and to wait and watch expectantly for the new thing that you are going to do. Amen.
I hear tiny feet. Come up here. You've been making stuff, I want to see. Come up here. Right, hold on. Gather up. Who's all got a thing? Excellent. Good, you've been busy. So, what have you been up to, Alexander?
So, Carrie, the Lego teacher, we made cars.
So, Carrie's here?
Yeah.
Yeah, is she hiding? She's hiding in the hall. She's tidying up.
If you pull the switch backwards, it goes forward.
Oh, wow.
Then if it's in the middle, it stops. Then if it's forwards, it goes backwards.
Excellent. So you've been building cars with engines. Right, so do they work? Oh, they work. Right. Okay, who else has got one? Let's see. Excellent. That's brilliant. They're amazing. That's off. Catch it before it goes to... Oh. Brilliant. Right, so... Okay, we gather them back in. So I've got a question for you. They're amazing. Right, but how do they move?
Engines.
There's an engine, and what, and the battery?
No, so this is the engine,
right.
And then there's a charger that goes for here,
right.
And it switches it on here.
So is there a battery in here?
Yeah, and then it goes, and then it's just like turning the wheels.
Okay, so how does the battery work?
Electricity.
Batteries.
How do you know?
Batteries.
Yeah, but how do they work? Electricity, right, so electricity, so the lights work with electricity as well, don't they? And the screens and all that kind of stuff. So can we see it?
No.
What?
Can you see electricity?
No,
it's invisible to the eye. That's weird, isn't it? But it does loads of stuff, and we can't see it. That's strange, isn't it? Yeah. So today we've been thinking, it's a very special day for the church today. It's the church's birthday today. It's a day called Pentecost, which is a big word, and it just means 50 days since Easter. But on... I was going to ask you that. Ah! Told you last year, see if you'd remember. It's 50 days since Easter, right? So it's 50 days since Easter, and something really weird happened that day. All the disciples were gathered together in a room, and the Holy Spirit showed up. And the Holy Spirit looked like tongues of fire, which is a bit scary, isn't it? And a really big, noisy wind. But it enabled them to do loads of things, but they couldn't see it, but it helped them to do stuff. So it's a bit like a battery, isn't it? You can't see how it works, but you know that there's power in it. And so that's what we've been thinking about today. We've been thinking about how God helps us to do stuff. So just like your batteries help your car to move, so God helps us to live well, doesn't he? To do the right thing. Yeah, there's loads. It's brilliant. These are amazing. So next time the Lego person's coming, somebody else is doing the service. Or we'll all just go and do Lego. How's that? Right, that was a vote. I think, who doesn't want to do Lego? One person, two. Right, okay, you can stay here, that'll be fine. You can just have like a quiet time or something. Thanks for coming in with these, it's brilliant. I'm really glad we got to see them, because we don't always get to see what you're up to. So we're going to sing a song. What's our last hymn? Colours of Day Dawn Into the Mind.
Colours of Day Dawn Into the
Right,
Mind.
Right, you could come and help. No, I'm kidding on. I've done that before, haven't I? Yeah, that's not good. Right, well, so let's stand and sing. It's our last hymn. So do you want to stay up here? Can you see the words?
Yeah.
Right, so let's stand and sing together then.
Thank you.
as we go to share the good news with the world, to speak into their language through our actions and deeds, using the universally known actions of love and compassion and hope and joy, using words when only absolutely necessary. May the blessing of God Almighty be with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this day and forevermore.